Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. The presidential election to determine who will be president in January 2017 is still 14 months away. So why is everybody focused on it, including me, this hour? Well, partly because there's not much other news going on. That's kind of typical in August of any year. It's when Congress goes out of town and not that much happens. And in my hometown of Washington, D.C., the streets are cleaner and there's less traffic on the road. So, you know, we don't mind too much. So they're talking about it because, well, there's nothing left to talk about. 15 months prior to the election. But also, it's good copy. It's amusing. It normally wouldn't be. My guess is if this were an ordinary race without a reality star in the mix, very few people would watch the Fox debate this Thursday. But I take it the ratings are going to be very high. I will watch it. I assume you will too. A lot of times I watch policy discussions and debates and report it to you on the Inside Scoop because, well, you haven't seen it and I can boil it down for you and you don't want to see it and I wouldn't blame you. But I think everybody's going to be watching this Thursday, if only because of that charlatan showman, that Barnum and Bailey circus freak by the name of Donald Trump. Mostly because he is out there seeking the publicity, and he's quite good at getting it, as you would think any reality star show would be. It would be just as interesting if Madonna were in the Democratic presidential race, or, I don't know, Tom Cruise were the Republicans. I don't want to presume anything about any of their political ideologies. People would watch just to watch. So why is it a problem? I'd be willing to bet a lot of money against anyone. If you want to make this bet with me, just call in at 888-48-MARK, 888-486-2275. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that Donald Trump will not and will never be president of the United States. In fact, I'd be shocked if he even wins the presidential Republican nomination, though certainly nothing would please me more. I think it would give the Democratic nominee, likely to be Hillary Clinton, I'd say a 45-state victory. But for those who are wondering why this guy has so much power in the first place, why he's doing well in the polls, well, ask yourself, if you were a Republican voter and you were polled 15 months before the election, and you certainly had no point of view on who was going to be president, after all, it's 15 months away, you might just pick Donald Trump. I suggest to you that's why Ben Carson is high in the ranks. Well, he's African-American, and Republicans, the ones that don't favor Donald Trump, that basically support some kind of implicit racism against Mexican-Americans, those Republicans that want to say we're not racist support Ben Carson, a doctor who happens to be black, who happens to have compared the Affordable Care Act to slavery, because in Ben Carson's feeble brain, somehow helping people not die is the same as enslaving them. Yeah. But they're supporting him, probably because he's black, probably because they want to say, hey, we're not racist, but Ben Carson, like Donald Trump, will be nowhere near the final line at the end of the nomination. But he's fun to support now. It's fun to say you support him now. And he does absolutely represent, Donald Trump does, a wing of the Republican Party. It's a wing, I think, that is best described by another party that we used to have in American history, a party that dates back to the 1850s prior to the Civil War. It was called the Know-Nothing Party. K-N-O-W, nothing. because it was a secret party. And if you were asked about it, you were supposed to say, I know nothing. Of course, really what it was an anti-intellectual party that very much was proud of the fact that they knew nothing and actively racist. Well, racist probably isn't the right word, since everyone was racist at the time. My point is they were actively prejudiced, and they were prejudiced against the newest immigrants of that day. Who were the immigrants in the 1850s? It was the Catholics. Mostly Irish Catholics, a few Italian Catholics, but mostly the Irish Catholics. Those Irish Catholics trying to change America from being the English Protestant nation that it was. It's actually some German Catholics as well. It's kind of ironic, since it's hard to believe there is ever prejudice against German or Irish Americans, given how, well, German and Irish Americans are accepted today. In fact, German Americans are the plurality of Americans. Did you know that? Obviously, we were first settled by the English, but if you ask every American where their heritage comes from, more Americans will say German than any other. It's about 24%. English is about 22%, and everyone else is less. Plurality, of course, not majority. But that just shows you how overwhelming the immigration was by the Germans in the 1840s, and the Irish as well, who were suffering the potato famine. They were coming here, guess what, to seek a better life. The Irish were starving in Ireland and felt they could do better here. The Germans were undergoing a lot of revolution at the time and thought they could do better here. Political, economic reasons, trying to seek a better life. Are they that different from today's Mexicans? I don't think so. And their response was not that different. There was an entire party, this know-nothing party, that talked about the fact that if Catholics came to America, that soon America would be under control of the Pope, and soon we would be overrun by these Germans and these Irish, and particularly the Catholics, and they actually did quite well for a while. They started winning several elections. This is when the Whig Party was declining and before the rise of the Republican Party, and there was even violence. There were anti-Catholic riots that attacked them. And interestingly, in Maryland, now Maryland would be the one state in America that is a Catholic state. It started as a Catholic state. In Maryland, the native-born Catholics, a few of them, would join up with the Know-Nothings against the newer Catholics, you see. So basically, it was a knee-jerk, anti-immigrant party defending America the way it is against all these new people. And you know what? I just don't think the Germans or the Irish really destroyed America. I think they actually did so good and so fine and so much became part of the American fabric that today we don't know who is of German or Irish background. Well, Donald Trump is appealing to that same idea. The same idea of keep out all those damn foreigners and protect America for Americans. Do I have to remind anyone that there are only one group of Native Americans, and that is the Native Americans that represent about 2% of our population, sometimes called the Indians, wrongly because Columbus didn't know where he was. That the Cherokee and the Sioux and the Chickasaw and 100 others, can't possibly name them all, the Navajo, that these are the Native Americans. These are the ones who truly have a right to complain when the white man came to their shores and took everything over. But other than that, every single one of us is a descendant of someone who was born somewhere else. Indeed, the Mexican Americans, many of which are descendant of indigenous people, of Native Americans, actually in many ways have a greater claim to this land than, well, those of us who don't come from the Americas. Really, no one has a claim. America's always been about anyone and everyone who's trying to make a better life here. But Donald Trump appeals to this know-nothingness. This ignorance. And I should make clear that I don't think Donald Trump is as stupid as the people who support him. Right? You can manipulate ignorant racists without being an ignorant racist. I don't know whether Donald Trump's a racist at all. I actually don't think he is. I think he's laughing. I think As he makes a mockery of our political process, he is laughing. He reminds me much more of Ann Coulter than David Duke, who believes, you know, former head of the Ku Klux Klan, definitely believes his racist, atrocious things he says. No, Donald Trump's laughing at us. He's a reality star. Like Ann Coulter, who says extremist things to promote her brand, so does Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who at one time supported universal health care, at one time was pro-choice, now says all the things that he thinks Republicans want to hear. And Republicans, some of them, or 20% of them, are stupid enough to actually believe him. The Republican Party has been promoting ignorance for an awful long time. They've been opposed to basic scientific fact, things like climate change, because, well, it hurts the bottom line of the billionaires that fund their party. They've also been against things like sex education for reasons that I guess stem from certain religious beliefs, but again, promote ignorance. They've been against voting and been trying to keep people from voting. Again, promoting ignorance and powerlessness. They've been against unions, making sure that working people suffer. Ignorance, powerlessness, poverty. These are the things that funnel the Republican Party, which, after all, is really out to make sure that a few billionaires make more and more and more money at the expense of the rest of us. That is why the Republican Party exists. That's what it's all about. But it has to use racism. It has to use attacks on immigrants. It has to use attacks on the poor to divide us all up so we're busy hating each other and not recognizing that a number of people in Wall Street and in the oil business and so forth are making tons of money. So Donald Trump, being the billionaire who is laughingly tricking poor, ignorant people, and let's face it, poor, ignorant white people, to believe all this nonsense, this hateful nonsense, really is a classic American populist figure. He dates back, as I say, to the Know Nothing Party of 150 years ago. And the one difference is that I think he has no chance of success in modern America, but he does have some success within the Republican Party. My concern, though, is that he's hiding the ball from the real danger, and indeed the likely Republican nominee, Jeb Bush. I said it 6 months ago. I'll say it today. I'm absolutely convinced that Jeb Bush will be the Republican nominee, just like I'm absolutely convinced that Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee. We'll talk a little bit later on in the broadcast about the possibility of Joe Biden entering the race and about some media unfairness, I think, towards Hillary Clinton. We'll get to that in a bit. But Donald Trump draws the light, draws all the media access. He's starving the other candidates for access. And interestingly, Fox News is determining who gets to go in the debate. They'll tell you it's the top 10 in the five most recent polls. They won't tell you which polls. They won't tell you which ones they're going to use and which ones they're going to discard. They won't tell you which ones they will round up and which ones they will round down. And that's because Roger Ailes, the chairman of the Republican Party, what a Freudian slip. The chairman of Fox News, he's actually far more powerful than the chairman of the Republican Party, Reince Priebus. He wants to play a role in determining who makes it and who doesn't. After all, it used to be Fox News was the official organ of the Republican Party. Now I think the Republican Party is the official organ of Fox News. What are your thoughts on the 2016 race? What are your thoughts on Donald Trump? What are your thoughts on the various candidates? The Fox debate on Thursday? Let me know. Give me a call. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about the 2016 presidential race. We have the Fox debates coming up on Thursday. They're up on the Republican side. We have Joe Biden suggesting that he might enter the race. Well, it's not really Joe Biden saying it. It's a New York Times article. Really, it's more of a trial balloon. I actually do not think Joe Biden will enter the race, though I do think he's one of the few that could make it a little more difficult for Hillary to win. Got lots of callers on the line. Let's go to Faye on line 3 in New Mexico. Hey, Faye, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so here's what. I was listening to Tom Hartman the other day, and he has a theory that Donald Trump is basically a shill for the Republicans, and that their pick is Scott Walker, and that he'll be a front runner as long as, you know, until the Republican convention, and then step down.
I think it'll be Jeb Bush. It could be Scott Walker.
I know
that,
you do.
Scott Walker has a chance. In fact, I think he has probably the second most chance. He's actually further to the right than Jeb Bush because he's out to destroy unions. But we all agree that it's definitely not Donald Trump. You know, I don't know. I think Donald Trump is out there for Donald Trump. I think he's out there to get massive publicity. He thinks it'll help his business. He certainly likes being in the center of the spotlight. Is he a shill? I actually think he's more of a charlatan. In other words, he knows the game he's playing. He's purposely saying outrageous things because he's enjoying all the attention he gets. But I don't know that he's in the control of anybody.
All of that is accurate, and I still think that what Tom Hartman said makes the most sense to me.
That he's a shill, meaning that they're promoting.
That he's been set up by the Koch brothers. Basically, they said, "Here's how it's going to go. Who's willing to do this?" And he said, "I am."
I don't know. I do think he does help Jeb Bush and Scott Walker because he crowds out all the minor candidates, all the others, all the Bobby Jindals and Chris Christies and Rick Perrys and all the others in the 17-person field. He crowds them out for attention and helps to knock them out and actually helps to winnow out the race. So this may be the reason why the Republican Party or Fox News, you know, may want him to be there for a while. So I accept that. I don't know that I believe the Koch brothers actually went behind the scenes and said, Donald Trump, do our bidding? I think Trump's rich enough that he does. I mean, I do think that Scott Walker does Koch brothers bidding and probably Jeb Bush, too. But Trump's so rich that I don't think he needs their money. And that indeed may be his appeal.
The money. This is a great way. But if you listen, he'll trash everybody except Scott Walker.
Interesting.
If he wanted to listen to the dribble that comes out of his mouth,
that's interesting.
Trashes pretty much everybody else.
Except Scott
Walker. Anyway, I'll get off now. That's my two cents.
All right, no, thank you for sharing that, Faye. Now, that's interesting. All right, he trashes everyone but Scott Walker. I don't know that he's trashed Jeb Bush that much either. He does serve that winnowing process by attacking everyone. Maybe that's their goal. They don't want 17 people all fighting each other. That's why, the conservative media is happy to promote Trump because he's talking down the others. We'll see. We'll see if he talks down Jeb Bush or Scott Walker. That's an interesting question. Lots of folks on the line. We'll get to you right after the break. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. What is the source of Donald Trump's appeal? What is the source of Fox's power to determine who is the Republican nominee? And what about the possibility that Joe Biden might enter the race? Lots to talk about when we come back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Side Scoop. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. There's an interesting article in the Washington Post. Let's see, find the date. This would have been yesterday's paper, actually. It's by Carlos Lozada, and it's kind of a book review. It's called What I Learned by Reading 2,212 Pages of Trump. And this poor guy, and I mean poor guy, read all 8 of Donald Trump's books from 1987 to 2011. And I'm really glad he did, because I certainly wouldn't want to. Here's some of the things he reports in the books. Trump explains in the books the power of psychology and deception. He calls it bravado, or truthful hyperbole. Before he was a brand name, he had to convince people he was worth the time. He would ask his architect to gussy up the sketches for a hotel so it looked like they spent huge sums on the plans. Or he'd have a construction crew drive machinery back and forth in Atlantic City so the visiting board of directors would be duped into thinking the work was far along. If necessary, he told a supervisor, have the bulldozers dig up dirt on one side and dump it on the other. Quote, I play to people's fantasies, unquote, Trump says in the books. Quote, it's an innocent form of exaggeration and a very effective form of promotion, unquote. Perception is reality, and achieving an aura around his projects has been essential. He says, if I'm mocked for putting my name on every building, well, it's really just a marketing strategy. But he also says in his books that the thrill of acquisition is more important to him than actually achieving anything. He writes, quote, the same assets that excite me in the chase often, once they are acquired, leave me bored. For me, you see, the important thing is the getting, not the having. I'm sure Donald Trump is having the thrill of his life running for president. I don't think he wants to be president, but I am sure that he is loving put one over on the American people. With that being said, I have a caller, Jeff in Arizona, on line two, who says he is a Trump supporter. So let him give you the other side of the coin. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Okay, I'm a supporter. I'll give you a couple reasons why. But when you were in the monologue, you know, people that support Trump were not all racist like you stated, and I don't appreciate it. You don't know me. You don't know if I'm a tripset. You don't know who I am. If I'm a racist or not a racist. So
I didn't say that all supporters are racist. I said that Trump appeals to racism, and I think he does. I think he's very much like the Know Nothing Party. He appeals to people who do not want immigrants because, for various reasons, they
support them are probably racist, and that's just not true. I'm sorry. You're just saying that's just a misrepresentation.
All right. So tell me why you support Donald Trump. Why do you support Donald Trump?
All right. Well, two reasons. Let me correct you. Another thing you said, he still absolutely supports a one-payer like I do. I'm not even a liberal, and I support a one-payer because I believe that people in America should get basic health care and not should have to pay little for it if, you know, whatever you could afford for basic health care.
I agree with you on that, but I guarantee you that he's not going to run on that issue. He's going to flip-flop on that because the Republican electorate doesn't support it.
I've listened to every little interview he's had, and he even said, look, people in America need basic health care, and we need to pay for it like that. So that's one point. I like him on that. It's fantastic. The other point is, I think he does create an atmosphere, in my opinion, on just the events that he does for businesses. You could be a small business, a large business, whatever kind of business you are. I think you would agree with me, Mark, that America's made up of small business, medium business, and some big corporate businesses. And we are all here trying to make a profit. I don't think there's anything wrong. If you look at the ads all over the TV and cable and everything, all they want you is to buy their products. So everybody does that. And so don't just, you know, put it on Trump like he's just trying to make a dollar.
No, Jeff, it sounds to me like you're putting your own views in this amorphous creature called Donald Trump. But, I mean, what did you think of when he said that the Mexicans that coming here were drug dealers and rapists?
It's a non-issue because, let me just say this about these other Republicans, because you think that Jeb Bush, he's an idiot. Okay, Jeb Bush, most of these Republicans, I'm very, very conservative myself, but these yahoos that are in this debate, I'm sorry. There is just nobody there. And you're right, there's a block of us that do want Trump, but would probably maybe go for Ted Cruz, but maybe not even that. I don't know.
Jeff, I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from, because you're saying things that I think most people would see as contradictory. You say you support universal health care, which is fantastic. I support universal health care, and I have no doubt that Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden would prefer universal health care as a better choice than the Affordable Care Act. But then you say you're very conservative. What are you conservative on?
Oh, I'm the very opposite of you and Hillary Clinton on just about everything else, on contraceptives, on abortion, on gay rights. So
I see. So you're socially conservative. You're socially conservative. I don't think think Donald Trump is that socially conservative. I would think you'd want to support a Huckabee or a Santorum or some of the people who are clearly socially conservative.
Because they're not viable to win. The Huckabee's not going to win. Santorum won't win. You got to pick someone that at least will maybe have an attempt to win. I think if he can survive till February or so next year, February, March, and he'll be the top, he'll be the nominee. And people said that somehow if he's up against Hillary, he'll lose. I don't think so.
And you think
we'll see.
You think Donald Trump is socially conservative? You think he's anti-gay?
I don't think he is. On healthcare, he is. I know that issue. And on abortion, he's pretty much pro-life.
He used to be pro-choice, right?
He's
flip-flopped
right.
on that. I mean, I mean, I'm pro-choice, but he used to be pro-choice 15 years ago. Now he says he's pro-life. My point about Donald Trump is not that he's anything. I don't think he's for pro-choice or pro-life or pro-universal health care or even that anti-Mexican. I think Donald Trump is a circus act. I think he tells you whatever he thinks you want to hear. I think he's a charlatan.
But you are supporting a Hillary Clinton candidate who has baggage from the governorship up to her husband.
We could talk about Hillary Clinton, but in terms of Donald Trump, look, you know, weirdly enough, I'm okay with you being a Donald Trump supporter because I think he hurts the Republican Party. I think he hurts the Republican brand. As a Democrat, I like to see that. But just as man-to-man, human-to-human, I have to tell you, if you study Donald Trump, particularly read this review of the 8 books he wrote, he basically admits that he's putting one over on people and laughing about it. He's literally a joke. He's like Stephen Colbert running for president.
Okay, but be fair, because every business that you get on your iPhone or whatever and on the cable are trying to sell you a product, and they're getting over on you too. So don't pretend like this is a Donald Trump because he's a billionaire. Most advertising companies are manipulators.
Okay.
Also.
I got it. So there's really there's no honest people in politics is basically your view. You might as well get a guy who's who's what? Who's brash? Well, what is the appeal?
What's that?
I think you're saying no one's honest in politics, and you might as well get a guy who's finished the sentence. What's Donald Trump?
I think Donald Trump would be as good as we could get for he's not a politician.
Aha. See, that's the heart of it.
And he could get things done.
That's the heart of it. You like the fact that he's not a politician. And you know what? I get it. People think that because politicians have failed so miserably in Washington, that a non-politician will do a better job. And that is a common feeling. And I do accept that that's part of Trump's support. I would argue that that's actually part of what the Know-Nothing supported as well. The idea of just sort of like, all of you, you're all terrible. We need something new. I would suggest to you that there are good non-politicians. Elizabeth Warren wasn't a politician. She was a professor. She came in there. She's stirring things up. There are people like that. I just think you're totally fooled on Donald Trump. But I tell you, Jeff, I appreciate your call and making your point. Thank you so much. Let me go to, let's see, Nick in Massachusetts on line one wants to discuss the Democratic side of the aisle. Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. So,
Clinton,
Sanders, Biden, O'Malley, who's your person?
Huh?
Clinton, Sanders, Biden, O'Malley, who are you going for?
Oh, I'm a Bernie Sanders guy, for full disclosure. I'm a
All
very
right.
progressive Democrat. And it seems to me that Joe Biden, who I like a lot, and just for full disclosure, you know, if it ends up being Hillary versus Jeb, like you suggest, I'm certainly voting for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Been around long enough to know who's better. But it seems to me that Joe Biden, being a fairly establishment figure and similar in a lot of ways to Hillary, maybe a little more left-leaning, would siphon votes away from Hillary during the primary season, which would only help Bernie in the primaries. That more Hillary people will go to Joe Biden than Bernie Sanders people.
You know, that
and
may,
all of
well,
a sudden, it could be a real tight race.
Well, Nick, that may be true, but I got to tell you, Hillary is so far ahead of Bernie Sanders. The latest poll I saw showed her in the high 50s and him around 16. Or even in the, I think she's even in the low 60s. I mean, she had a 50-point advantage. I remember that. So even if you were to split Hillary Clinton's vote in half with Joe Biden in the race, I still think they'd beat Bernie. Now, I'm not. That's just telling you as a political analyst, not as favoring one or the other. I like Bernie Sanders. I think he says a lot of really good things. I think he pushes Hillary to the left, and I think the excitement in his campaign is because, well, he's new to a lot of people across the nation, though some of us have watched him for years. But also there's an excitement there. Hillary Clinton doesn't provide that excitement. She's been around in the national sphere a very long time. And because she pushes Hillary to the left, I have to tell you, I don't think Bernie has much of a chance, but feel free
well,
to
that's what everybody always says. And, you know, as an employer of a whole bunch of 20-somethings and young 30-somethings, I can tell you that I have a bunch of people who work for me that the first time they ever voted was for Barack Obama. I mean, I voted the minute I could. You know,
right.
50 or 40.
Right. He was very
ago.
Inspiring 8 years ago. Absolutely.
Say what?
He was very inspiring 8 years
inspiring.
Ago. But...
So, but these guys aren't inspired. My employees are not inspired by Hillary. And they need to be inspired. Otherwise, they're just not going to the polls. It's
well,
unfortunate.
I'll tell you something.
I try to encourage them. But there are a lot of people who aren't going to go to the polls if she just keeps a dull.
Well,
you know,
let me tell you this. On this, I agree with you. I agree with you. And if I were Hillary Clinton's advisor, I would tell her. She has to emote more. She has to show who she is more. She has to get more personal. She can't play it safe all the time. Remember, there's 14 months away. But one of the things that really distinguishes, I think, Hillary Clinton from Bill Clinton is Bill Clinton's ability to, and we use it as a cliche, but I actually think it's real, to feel our pain, right? I mean, people joke about it. But when Bill Clinton is by your side listening to you, it's like there's nothing else in the world. That man has more charm than I think any other human being alive, at least that I know of. And
yeah,
part of it is a natural skill, and part of it is learned. And I really hope he will teach Hillary, and I hope she won't run too far from him. I hope he'll stay by her side because he is her best asset. I have to say, I think Hillary is just as smart as Bill Clinton. She may even be smarter. She's brilliant. She knows everything she has to know about policy, and I think she'd be really good in a crisis. But in terms of that personal relating to
right.
ordinary people, you're right. She doesn't have it, and she is going to have to work on it. I mean, I liked Al Gore a lot, but he didn't have it either. And charm
oh,
matters
God.
In politics.
Listen, I saw Al Gore speak at a local college here, hired a new president who knew Al Gore from the White House. And Al Gore came a few years ago. This is way after he lost the election. And he gave the speech to introduce the new president at Hampshire College. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
And everybody in the audience said, I wish he could have been like that during the campaign.
Right. Well, it
you know,
may
it
be
shed,
that they were
it
keeping
shed
him
his
careful.
Advisors.
Yeah, no, they're probably keeping him careful, and that's probably happening to Hillary, too. It's easier right now, 14 months out, not to make his mistake, play it safe. She is 50 points ahead of Bernie Sanders. You know, in fact, some of the best Hillary Clinton we saw was 4 years, 8 years ago when Barack Obama started to surpass her in the polls. We saw more of a real person underneath her short, you know, her exterior there. I'll tell you something that I was going to save to after the break, but... I do think there's a bit of a double standard with Hillary Clinton. Let me explain. If you look at women all throughout the world who are leaders of countries, look at the most recent two leaders that I can think of that led powerful countries. They're Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady of United Kingdom, and Angela Merkel, the Iron Lady of Germany. And both were seen as very tough, inflexible, really, you know, strong, almost too strong leaders. And I wonder if women are held to that sort of standard. You know, when Bill Clinton or Joe Biden shows humanity and, you know, has sort of tears in their eyes as they listen to someone who's struggling to get their life in order and truly feels them in a way that both Bill Clinton and Joe Biden absolutely do and shows that emotion, they're seen as strong. Oh, this powerful man is going down and talking to someone who's in need, and what a wonderful man who can have that emotion in his eyes. I do think that a woman when she has a tear in her eye because she cares about something very strongly, oh, well, you know, there goes that woman. She's kind of weak. I almost think we force our women, and I don't just mean us. I really mean all over the world, that women politicians are almost forced by sexism to be so strong and so tough, and because people are afraid they're not tough enough, that they actually can't show emotion as easily as a man could in the same role. I'm curious what you think of my analysis there. I'll tell you what, Nick, stay on the line because we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd be curious to know what you think about that. There are other people on the line, too. I want to get to each and every one of you. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Back after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it super nerd? No, it's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Pick up your number two pencils. It's time for Class with Mark Levine.
Ready. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Still lots of callers on the line. Don't worry, we'll be able to talk more about this tomorrow if I don't get to you today. Just Nick from Massachusetts, real quick. What do you think of my sexist theory about why Hillary Clinton can't emote as well as, say, Bill or Joe Biden?
All right, this is what I want to say. You know, Hillary Clinton is obviously held to a double standard because she's a woman. I agree with you 100% on that. I also believe she's no Bill Clinton. She can't learn that. It's a personality type. She's not going to connect or enthuse people the way he did. But I want to run an idea by you, and I'd love to know what you think.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, real quick, because I got some other calls I want to get to.
Okay. Most presidential candidates wait till after they're elected to announce who they're appointing to different things. So Barack Obama, who I love dearly, all of a sudden brought in Geithner and Summers, and it depressed me horribly. I think Hillary ought to announce early that she's bringing in the progressive wing of the party, like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, ask them to be Secretary of the Interior for her and announce it early so she's running with a whole slate instead of just herself. What do you think about that?
I love Elizabeth Warren. I don't know. I just wonder how many votes that would bring her. She's got to win the middle. So I don't know. I think most politicians are careful for a reason, though I certainly would not want her to hire the likes of Tim Geithner. Thanks for your call, Nick. I appreciate it. Todd from Tacoma, Washington on line two has been hanging on a long time. Hey, Todd, how are you? On line three, excuse me. Line three. Todd Tacoma's on line three.
I just want to put out there that today on C-SPAN at 7 p.m. Eastern time, there is a Republican debate that hasn't even been mentioned.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Tom Hartman's. Uh-huh. But
who's debating? All of them?
It's Republicans. It's done in New Hampshire.
Huh.
I checked the schedule on C-SPAN Radio.
Interesting.
And yeah, it starts at 7 o'clock. So
and nobody's watching. That's fascinating.
Yeah, nobody's watching. You're right. But I wanted to mention that I called Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office because I wanted to know when are the Democratic debates going to be? And I said, why don't you, and I didn't talk to her, of course, but I left a message. Why don't you have some type of a format or somebody come out and discuss all the things that the Republicans talk about this Thursday on Fox on their debate? And have a debate about that or something.
It's a great idea to definitely respond to it. I don't think there are going to be as many Democratic debates because, frankly, there are not as many candidates, and so not as much winnowing down will be. But it's a good point. They do need to respond to it. Thank you, Todd. I'm just cutting you off because I want to quickly get to Dana in Virginia Beach on line two. Dana, you got about 30 seconds.
Well, it's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia.
Oh, it's Reggie. Reggie from Georgia. Great. Okay, Reggie, you got about 30 seconds. Go.
Okay, why is it that everybody is condemning Hillary Clinton and yet applauding Donald Trump at the exact same time? Why isn't she fighting back on these allegations and charges against her? Why is that?
I think she is. I think sometimes when you respond to ridiculous allegations, it actually brings it more up in the media than it should. I think all this email stuff is a mountain out of a molehill. She didn't release any classified information, and she did what, frankly, Jeb Bush did and what Colin Powell did. So I think she's basically decided that laying low is probably the right results because people don't really care anyway. We're going to talk more about the presidential race. If I didn't get to you, call back tomorrow. This is Mark Levine. Talk to you then.